I've learned so much about how to be, let's just use the word, manipulate minds.
Anybody.
So EMDR is like a rave, right? With a bunch of lasers.
And Dawn.
Walking down the street, I'm like, this is a big city. I'm going to get great.
The Rob. Anybody. And Dawn Show.
Let's get started with this email, rad@radradio.com. It's actually where we started yesterday. Brandon, remind me again why we talked about and what is Argylle.
Argylle is a what I thought was going to be a good movie because it stars Henry Cavill, Dua Lipa, Bryan Cranston, the character actor that I can't think of right now was in Three Billboards. Anyway, and it was supposed to be like a spy thriller action comedy that involved a cat in a backpack. And the whole plot is...
And that's in the trailer, the cat in the backpack.
It's more than... Yeah, it's okay. Like the main thing that's featured throughout the whole trailer.
And somebody wrote in because I guess you had expressed an interest in seeing it, and as of yesterday, you haven't seen it.
I haven't, and because of said cast, I was very much looking forward to it, but all reviews since it was released and based on the turnout to see this movie, nobody really liked it at all.
So not just reviews from reviewers, which are hit or miss, but just people in general.
Yep.
Okay, so the follow-up email here says, I was super excited about Argylle. Just as much as Brandon was, and I am here to tell you, it sucked.
Oh,
at least
really?
In my opinion, and according to my wife, although she doesn't really matter.
What?
Oh.
I was highly disappointed after much anticipation. I don't know why in the trailer they blew up that stupid cat.
What? They blew up a cat?
It's in the trailer. Wait. It's not a spoiler.
Well,
at least according to him.
In the trailer, you don't see the cat actually exploding, so...
Oh, maybe he's saying there's a cat in the trailer, but in the movie, he's blown up.
Yeah.
Either way, he says it's the whole movie's irrelevant. Don't waste your time.
I wasn't going to plan on it. If it shows up on TBS someday, I might watch it.
Whoa, not even a streaming service. Just like, was it a streaming service thing to begin with?
No,
okay.
It was straight to theaters.
It's like you want the commercials.
Jeez.
Exactly. I need a break.
Yeah, that's really bad. Okay. We got this note from Trevor.
Hey, Trevor.
In Sacramento, we are on 104.7 FM and 890 AM, and it's all rad all the time. So you get the live morning show. You get it repeated in the afternoon every day at 10 a.m. You get the Mixed Picks Sports Show. Tuesdays at 11, you get Tech to You Tuesday. So it's all us. There's nothing. You can't tune in to 104.7 FM and 890 AM without hearing something to do with Rad Radio. And Trevor wrote in, this was last night at 8:20. He says, I'm currently on my way to get food, and on 104.7 FM in Sacramento, there's a clip playing of the Rad crew talking to Rob's father. It is a clip where Horace's phone, that's my dad, keeps cutting out. And I am dying laughing that this is a best of show and is far more entertaining than anything else on the radio. Oh, and yet, you all are not even trying at this very moment.
Why? I'm trying.
Why would we?
I'm trying too.
We're trying. Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not trying right now.
Do you tell them to try, Rob?
Well, if we don't try, then we get in trouble.
I may express to them the attitude or something that they're supposed to be trying.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
And maybe, you know, Brandon and Kyle are much younger than us boomers. They're in their mid-30s-ish.
Yeah, trying. I mean, that stopped long ago.
Yeah, maybe they're still at that stage where they need to try. If I go back in my mind, I was trying in my mid-30s.
Well, we were definitely trying in our mid-30s. Yeah. That was the height of us trying.
I don't know exactly where. Somewhere within the last decade. And it could be less recent than that. I realize that trying is the first step towards failure. So why bother?
See, the way I look at it is I try because I care.
Well, I care.
Sure.
I mean, I care about things. Like, just to be clear, I care about being number one.
Absolutely.
As much of a given as that is with this show, I do still care. I do care about presenting quality. I want you to be whatever you need today. That's kind of the way the show's designed, right? I want you to be consoled if you need that.
Absolutely.
I want you to laugh hysterically if that's what you need. I want you to be challenged. You know, whatever. I do want all of that. I just
I'm with you.
Don't try.
There it is.
I just kind of. read things, say things, react.
You're speaking how I feel.
I guess. Sure.
Being natural in your current state is what's the quality there, right?
That's it.
You're selling yourself, therefore you don't necessarily have to try. You just simply have to be.
Think of it like this, Brandon. You're in a, I guess what we would refer to now as a long-term relationship. You're engaged. It's two plus years. Okay, so we can all relate.
Yeah.
Long-term relationships. There are times where you really try during sex, and then there's others you don't. Yeah. You're like, you're getting this.
You're fine with it.
Either, and it can be any version of this. And we'll tell you from the dude's point of view. Get on top. You're doing all the work. Or I got about 90 seconds for you. We're gonna spoon and not move. Other than that, and then other times you're like you're trying and you're really it's that kind of thing. I think.
See, this doesn't translate because I'm a giver. I'm always giving it my all. I'm always trying.
And you know what?
You gotta let that go.
Dawn used to be like that. That this whole all I do is care about other people
and I still care, but there's a place
for it. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you need to give less and take more.
All right, so I want to retract the statement of trying because I'm thinking back to what my father has as his text tone as the Yoda clip saying, "Do not try. There is no try. You either do or you do not."
Yeah, but that's so inspirational, though.
Yeah, but what's the difference between doing and trying? I know you're a psychology,
fair enough,
community college graduate, but how are you in philosophy?
No, you're right. You're right. Well, remember that philosophy is nothing more than the train track towards becoming a philosophy professor. There's no line of work in philosophy.
No.
I'm much more interested in sociology, which is the offset of psychology. But actually, your dad and Yoda, not necessarily in that order, make a good point. It's not about trying. It is about accomplishing, achieving,
100%.
Doing. Because think of it this way. Whether it's your kid, your coworker, maybe even your spouse in some situation, when they are doing something incompetently, poorly, or whatever, and their response is, "Well, I'm trying." Most of us go some version of try harder, or I didn't ask you to try to take the garbage out. I asked you to actually take the garbage out. Things like that.
Yes.
So that's where I would say the difference is, and that's why it is actually pretty poignant.
Yeah, so it is a prerequisite for failure. It's an excuse.
Right. I think I stole that from Homer Simpson. Trying is the first step towards failure. He didn't mean it in an inspirational way as much as I am trying to.
Well, and back to the silly when you were talking about in the beginning and you're trying with sex. From the girl point of view, oh, man, you are making sure you are showered, shaved, waxed, whatever it is. You will never allow yourself not to. And then if you have a man who just wants sex, you can let those things go. Because in the end, you still get the outcome, right?
You do. Yeah.
You still get the outcome.
It is a. I will openly and transparently admit the example meant to be and taken in fun is a little raw for me right now because one of the things that I'm doing as I reverse my lifestyle is that as you let yourself go down a bad path where you go from being a social drinker or a functioning alcoholic, even where everything's working out, and you get to the point where you're not functioning and it is affecting your relationships and things like that. One of the things that suffers are things like your hygiene.
Sure.
Like,
yes.
Because you're either so close to blacking out or you're so exhausted or whatever, like, shower, brush your teeth, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I have implemented over the last few weeks is a regiment of showering regularly, taking care of myself, dressing better, caring more. These were all things that were part of who I have always been up until I kind of lost control a few years ago. So point taken. This is why I have the reaction I do, and I can't have as much fun as you on the subject.
Yeah, it is meant in fun.
next email. This one is from Angie.
Hey, Angie.
Wonderful. Sure. Speaking of, one of the things we've talked about is usually – and I have experienced in the past, I've mentioned over the years, there's been, it used to be back in my 20s, I would, every year, I would just pick 3 months a year and I would just completely stop drinking. And that was based out of that irrational fear, it is irrational, it's totally unproven, of alcoholism skips a generation. And my grandfather on my mother's side was an alcoholic. And I knew I was a drinker and nothing else. No pot, no drugs, no fun other than alcohol. And so I would do this thing where I would just stop drinking for 3 months. It was never an issue. It was never a problem. And I didn't even notice then in my 20s that I would crave sugar, which is what you're supposed to, quote, quote, crave. Recently, over the last 5 years, my wife and I, a couple times, after like spending too many days in Vegas or Hawaii, would come home and go, we kind of overdid it. How about we take a few weeks off? And it was always 6 weeks. I don't know why we chose 6 weeks. And in those instances, it was nonstop. Skittles, M&Ms, Starburst. I mean, anything. Sugar out of the sugar packets plain. This time, though, it's just been food in general. And as Brandon has pointed out, yes, carbohydrates transfer to sugar in your body. But it isn't just carbohydrates. It's protein, it's food, it's just snacky. And so there has been this discussion over my quest towards becoming fat.
Robba the Hutt. You'll never be fat.
I gotta tell you, as much as I hate that, it's my favorite nickname so far, Robba, because it is creative. Robba the Hutt. Not to bore people with repetition, but I have been since high school, 5'10"-ish to 5'11", 175 pounds. The muscle mass has kind of moved from when I graduated high school and such, but that's what's been. Except for that 8-month period early in my relationship with my wife when we both got fappy, and I whopped up to 188 pounds, which was staggering to me. And if you think about it.
Got winded walking upstairs.
If you take somebody who's 175 pounds and you put them at 188, you've added 13 pounds, you've added almost 10%. And it's a noticeable amount.
Well, your frame is smaller, so it's also is noticeable, and you feel it.
And it's also, to somebody who's extraordinarily superficial like I am, disgusting.
Oh.
And that's the most I've ever weighed. And so we've had this discussion now that I'm eating like a hog last night. Dinner was we did grill night last night, so she got her 3-ounce piece of grilled salmon, perfectly cooked.
Three ounces.
That's the standard portion that you
Tiny.
Should be eating.
Oh, okay.
And then we split a baked potato, and I had my 16-ounce ribeye, which is 3 meals for me. 4 ounces. It could be 4 meals, but it's usually 3 meals.
What'd you say the ounces were on your
16-ounce, a pound. That's what I always cook. You get 12 to 16-ounce ribeyes.
No, but you ate all of that?
And I haven't finished the story.
Okay.
Bone in or boneless?
I'm sorry. That's what I thought I heard, because boneless. I've literally never known you eat a pound of meat in one sitting.
This was the challenge when I it was a thick one, too. I plopped it on the plate, and I said to my wife, I said, well, this ought to be interesting. I mean, because she knows. You know, this is, if you look at it, it's going to look like I've eaten a third of it at most when I'm done. I ate all of my half-baked potato. That thing was easy. And I got to the point where there was, we weighed it in the end, there was 3 ounces of the ribeye left.
How much of it was fat?
So I had eaten, I eat fat. I eat all
you
of
eat
it.
All
I eat the fat. I eat the grizzle. I love it. It's fantastic. So I had eaten 13 ounces of ribeye. And she looked at me. We waited afterwards, but she looked at me as I was sitting there. She had been done for like 5 minutes. I'm like, babe, really, you can go clear. You know, don't worry about me. I'll be here a while. But I was sitting there looking at my 3 ounces of ribeye, and she said, you want to finish that, don't you? And I said, I could, and I won't be overly fat. I mean, I won't be overly full. I'm already overly fat, obviously, according to everybody. But I'm going to save it because it'll be a good snack for tomorrow.
Sure.
During the show.
Yes.
After the show. And I don't know, 15 minutes later, I got the giant bag of pretzels and the big thing of mustard and ate, 20 pretzels and mustard for dessert. So
that's like there's people that just want to have ice cream every night at some point. That's how they end the night. I feel like this is how you end your night, with the pretzels and the mustard.
Lately.
Or the pretzels and the ranch, whatever.
It's been it's been those two things the most. Although, well, remember, just a couple nights ago, I ended it with a Reuben sandwich,
okay.
Homemade.
Yeah.
After a full plate of pasta.
Nice.
It really does depend. It depends also on my effort level, things like that. This brings us to Angie's email. Tomorrow will be 3 months to 3 months, 3 weeks to the day since I went and saw my doctor after I detoxed and started my outpatient rehab program, and found out from him there are some amazing prescription drugs of the last year or two that have come out that really help you with cravings, with alcohol, that work with your brain, no side effects I'm aware of, et cetera. We've talked about them. And so the guessing game has been, what will Rob weigh tomorrow? I weighed 171 pounds 3 weeks ago tomorrow.
I thought you were getting weighed on Friday.
We're guessing on Friday.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I thought tomorrow was Friday. This week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a crazy week.
I thought Monday was Thursday. I'm not kidding. So it's Wednesday?
Hey, it's Wednesday.
It's
your
Wednesday.
Weighing day could have changed, so yeah. That's why I'm like, I thought you were getting weighed on Friday.
So Friday will mark 3 weeks to the day since I saw my doctor, and on that day, 3 weeks ago, I weighed in at 171 pounds, totally normal for me, and I get weighed wearing what I'm wearing, jeans, outfit, shoes, wallet, and cell phone. And I hold it all and I get weighed. What do I care? I know the exact outfit I was wearing.
Perfect.
I will replicate it for Friday.
Shoes are most important,
too. The guess has been, what will Rob have gained pounds? Will he be the same? Somebody suggested I might have lost weight, things like that. Mm-hmm. And Angie says, I want to apologize ahead of time if this has been brought up. I do listen every day live, but I have a job that interrupts me often, so I often have to re-listen.
That's rude.
I do think that I heard that Rob will be giving us his new weight next week after he weighs in at the doctor's office. Yes, Monday morning I'll have your report. My question is, will there be a game for this? Maybe us maggots get to guess Rob's weight, and whoever gets it correct can be the right caller and win Rob's fat-ass money. I don't claim to be clever, but the thought of us guessing your weight for money was intriguing to me. And I can't make too much fun. My big butt has no room to laugh. It's all out of love. I'm just trying to figure out a way that we as listeners can make some money off your fat ass. This was all in fun. I hope you know. You're certainly welcome to, at any time, email in your guesses, including through the weekend, because you won't know until Monday. There will be no prize attached to it, however. But yes, on Friday, the team, including Ian from Tech2U, who's just coming on as a special guest. Nothing going on. Nobody's not going to be here. Just having Ian's perspective, which we like to have now and then. Everybody will make their guess. I was 171 3 weeks ago. What do you think I'll weigh in today? And then on Monday, we'll all know the answer.
See, I like the idea of making this a game. We can turn you into a carnival game. You know, you like the fat person at the carnival. You guess the weight. And if they win, they get a stuffed maggot plushie that you can get in the stupid store at radradio.com.
Which they get by buying it, just so everybody understands. Right, there is no prize. There is no giveaway.
See, this is what I don't understand with people. Don't they realize I've been saying this? The prize is that you're the winner. That's prize enough.
That is not, no.
Yeah, well, you're a millennial, so I'm
damn right.
Yes, and so you guys are used to always getting things. So in my day, winning was enough.
Right.
You don't need to give me a trophy.
God,
you don't
that's
need to
so
give me
sad.
A, you don't even need a certificate. Yes, that is so sad. I know. Oh, poor us. So terrible.
We were
much stronger.
Gen
got
X.
Nothing.
Gen X did grow up with the horribly abusive idea that what mattered the most was achievement and accomplishment, not award. It's a different time now.
Yeah, they don't even care about achievement. They just want to get the reward.
That's why you do the achievement, to get the reward.
Yeah, but you don't even do the achievements. You do, Kyle.
Well,
but
I mean,
if we're talking,
again,
having fun with it.
Dawn and I grew up in a horrible time.
Yeah.
We do the achievement and the excellence not for the award, but for the pride of it. For the satisfaction of doing it.
Amen.
Again, horrible time.
Yeah. Oh,
terrible way to raise a generation.
Oh my God! Yeah, don't have pride in your accomplishments.
What the hell is that?
My God! Right? So silly.
So yes, there'll be no prizes of any kind. But Dawn's right. You'll have bragging rights.
Ooh, you're the winner
of whatever kind there are. If you can guess. And I don't know. I mean, those of you that watch on Rad TV, you can do visuals. You know, do I look fatter in the face, fatter in the neck? You know, Brandon tried to throw some shade at me yesterday, saying that I'm wearing baggier clothes when I've been wearing hooded sweatshirts for the last like 4 months. Right. It was just that time of the year.
See, I thought that it was because you're trying to hide a certain amount of plumpness.
Right, uh-huh. The roll.
But you could be losing weight, which is why the clothes look baggier.
I will tell you, I have not, because I know this is so anathema to so many of you, I honestly don't care at all, in the sense that if I have gained weight, like if Friday I've gone from 171 to 178, you know, 7 pounds in 3 weeks.
No way.
I will make the necessary adjustments, and I have this glorious metabolism that I've been blessed with, and I'll go back down to 174 or 5 or whatever. I don't care about these things, but the point was, I haven't even taken the time at any point. Like, I showered last night. I haven't even looked in the mirror to notice. I will tell you, full disclosure, since you're all going to be guessing, there's no indication, like, nothing's fitting tighter.
That's what I was going to say.
The belt doesn't need an extra loop.
Because that'll tell you. Oh. I mean, a lot of times you don't even need the scale. What your clothes will tell you.
So I don't know. I don't even have a guess.
What about your fingers? Are they swelling up? Your rings feeling tighter?
No.
No?
Not at all.
Damn.
No, that's a fair question. Rings come on and off as they would or wouldn't. They're meant to be tight. They're tight as they are. This is normal for the rings and things like that. So we'll find out. Well, you'll find out Monday.
Isn't this just so great for you?
We'll all guess on Friday. Dan wrote in. So back to entertainment-based things like, what was it called? The ambivalent, the abyss.
Boring. Argyle?
Argyle.
Argyle. Yeah,
all the same thing.
I thought it was with the B for some reason.
So Argyle's a no, even from Brandon, who hasn't seen it, which is odd. I mentioned during the pressure cooker yesterday, I asked about the number one most watched show in America on Netflix. It's called The Gentlemen. And I mentioned that maybe I did things backwards, because I saw that. I've never heard of this. So I watched the trailer and I thought it looked awful. Then I read the synopsis and I went, oh, it's a series based on the old TV show from 2019. Got an interesting plot. Kid inherits 15,000 acres, finds out there's a whole marijuana field, and it's protected by a gang, and now he has to protect his land and also deal with the gang or whatever. Rob wrote in and said, you mentioned the show The Gentlemen. I'm on episode 6 of 8, and I have to say, the show is great, and dare I say, it's better than Breaking Bad.
Shut your dirty whore mouth.
It's original, and I love the way it's filmed. It's funny, and it's violent. It's not violent like John Wick. It's good enough, and it is an amazing show.
Okay, so...
Whoa.
After we had talked about it, and yesterday I was doing stuff in the kitchen, so I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Let me watch the trailer again. And I literally don't know how I just do not know how I missed it. So who was the guy that owned all the chicken stores in Breaking
Gustavo
Bad and Better Call Saul?
Fring. His name is not coming to me right now.
I know, me neither. Gosh dang it. He's in this.
Yeah.
And he's in the trailer. And I was like, how did I miss that? So that right there, I didn't even care about the trailer anymore. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to start watching because of him. I loved his character in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. And so I'm only on the first episode because things got busy, whatever. It's probably too soon to say it's better than Breaking Bad, but I'm almost done with episode one, and having watched Breaking Bad of season one, episode one, I would have to say no.
Mm. Well, no.
No,
but you covered that.
Like, yeah, I
that's,
need to like...
That's not fair sample size or comparison, because there's also shows that are fantastic first episodes and then go right into garbage.
And so honestly, this one has me. It really does. It is along the lines of, I think, for those of us that like the Better Call Sauls, the Breaking Bads, the Ozarks, the things like that, I think that it's looking like it has those kind of potentials. But again, I'm almost done with the first episode. That's it.
My wife's informed me from the trailer that she's interested. And so we'll watch it. I'm very nervous because a lot of you morons, including my staff, somehow have the audacity to put the Ozarks in the same sentence.
Fantastic.
As those other two shows.
So
and
good.
The Ozarks is a horrifically awful show.
It's so
I'm nervous about how I will feel about about the gentleman.
So just going back to the actor who plays Gustavo Fring on Breaking Bad, who's also in the Gentleman. His name is Giancarlo Esposito. And I was the same way about Breaking Bad. And when Better Call Saul came out, I was like, no, you're going to ruin this. Like, you're just going to do a spinoff. It's just going to be too campy and cheesy. And it turns out that the Better Call Saul series ended up being a little bit better than the Breaking Bad.
100%.
But in a different lane completely. Yeah. Like, there's a lot more darkness and well, there's dark stuff happening in Better Call Saul, too. But it was a little bit more cerebral and family-oriented, which that drama dynamic was really interesting. And that I was also the same way about Ozark. I was like, no, that's Breaking Bad light.
So good.
Like, I don't want the less filling version of Breaking Bad. But man, Ozark, I don't know what I was thinking, but that is one of the best shows in
so
my
good.
Opinion.
All the layers.
Right. Oh, it's so, and every season has gotten better and better.
Now,
well, the characters are amazing too.
Now, oof. I would not, if Jesus I had to rank all Christ. Three of those that we were just talking about, good for me, Lord. It'd be Better Call Saul, Breaking Bad, and then Ozark.
Yep, I'd rank the same.
Well, at least you're putting Ozark where it belongs, last place.
Rob, anybody, and Dawn. The Rob, anybody, and Dawn Show.